Welcome to Letters from Wall Street. I'm your host, Anthony Pompliano, better known as Pomp. Let's kick this thing off.
If you follow Bitcoin and crypto, you've probably heard of eToro. They're the world's number one social trading platform, and I love it. They've got more than 10 million other traders that love it too. And guess what? They just launched in the United States. eToro offers access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, and others. With the smartest trading tools and the ability to connect with the best traders around the world, there's no better place to build your perfect portfolio. If you're new to Bitcoin and crypto, you can test the waters with their $100,000 virtual trading feature. But if you're more experienced, you can create custom technical charts and use eToro's social feeds to inform your trading decisions. They've got transparent fees, and so you never miss out. They also have an easy-to-use application available on iPhone, Android, or any web browser. You can get started today in just a few clicks at eToro.com. Again, that's eToro.com. Get VIP access to Bitcoin and crypto markets today.
The following episode is a letter to shareholders of the Graham Newman Corporation, dated February 28, 1946, from Benjamin Graham, President, and Jerome A. Newman, Vice President and Treasurer. To the stockholders of Graham Newman Corporation, on January 31st, 1946, the company concluded its 10th year of operations. This event makes it appropriate to depart from former custom and to include with our annual report some extended comment on our policies, results, and prospects. General policy and overall results. The current prospects of the corporation states that its general investment policy is 1. To purchase securities at prices less than their intrinsic value as determined by careful analysis, with particular emphasis on purchase of securities at less than their liquidating value. 2. To engage in arbitrage and hedging operations in the securities field. This policy means that, in our operations, relatively little stress is laid upon forecasting the future course of the securities market or the future prospects of individual companies on a basis differing materially from their past performance. With regard to general portfolio operations, as distinguished from arbitrage, liquidation, and hedging operations, it means that we tend to purchase securities when general sentiment is pessimistic and prices are generally low, and we sell them out in periods of optimism and high prices. The overall results realized by the corporation in the past decade are summarized in tables 1, 2, and 3 appended. We may point out here that, for the 10-year period, total earnings before contingent compensation to officers aggregated $245 per share, as against the original issue price, adjusted as $99 per share. Of these earnings, $41 per share was paid as contingent compensation and $204 accrued to the stockholders. Of the latter sum, $161 was paid in cash dividends, including $3.87 as the later cash value of a distribution in kind. $16 represents the value of subscription rights offered, and $27 represents the increase in the remaining net asset value of the shares. The annual percentage gain to stockholders, based on net asset value at the beginning of each year, averaged 17.6%. This compares with 10.1% in the same period shown by the Standard Statistics PORS Index of 90 stocks, and 10% shown by the Dow Jones Industrial Average, in both cases with allowance for dividends received. In the first 6 years of operation, calendar years 1936 to 1941, a period of generally declining prices, our overall gain averaged 11.8% per annum against a loss of 0.6% for the 90-stock average. In the past 4 years, calendar years 1942 to 1945 inclusive, a period of steadily rising prices, we averaged 26.3% against 26% for the 90 stocks. In our last fiscal year, we showed, for the first time, a lower percentage gain than that of the general market. These comparative results follow directly from our investment policy, which grows more conservative as the market level rises. Future policy and prospects. Because of the large advance in the general market in the past 3 years, we have substantially changed the character of our security holdings during this period. The percentage held in general portfolio common stocks has been greatly reduced, and the percentage in arbitrages, hedging operations, and convertible senior issues correspondingly increased. These changes are summarized in the accompanying percentage analysis of our portfolio as of January 31, 1943 and January 31, 1946. The sharp reduction in our general portfolio has not been based on an opinion that the rise in the market has now run its course, but on the fact that very few common stocks remain attractive holdings judged by our technical standards. Under our established policy, we neither participate in clearly speculative profit opportunities nor assume clearly speculative risks. As long as the present rising market continues, it is not likely that we shall be able to match the percentage gains shown by common stocks generally. There is reason to believe, however, that we may continue to make satisfactory, though not spectacular, profits in arbitrage and similar operations, which entail less risk than ordinary stock purchases at this time. The field of such operations has tended to expand with the increase in general market and corporate activity. For this reason, we believe that we shall be able to find sound employment for our capital, including the limited expansion recently provided for. If the market should decline substantially, we cannot expect our holdings to be unaffected, but we believe that any shrinkage in the net asset value of our shares should be moderate in itself and relatively less severe than that shown by the market generally. The chief objective of the management has been to conduct our operations so as to show an attractive rate of return on our shares during periods when stock prices generally have not moved substantially in either direction. In spite of problems presented by rising and falling markets, we are hopeful that we shall be able to carry out this objective in the future as in the past decade. Results for the year ended January 31, 1946. Submitted herewithin is a copy of the report of our auditors, Mr. Stern, Porter, Kingston, and Coleman, covering the fiscal year ended January 31, 1946. The appended balance sheet indicates a net asset value of $125.88 per share on January 31, 1946, compared with $131.95 per share on January 31, 1945. These figures give effect to the sale of additional stock in January 1946. Dividends of $33.20 per share were paid during the year, all of which have been designated as capital gains dividends pursuant to Section 362 of the Internal Revenue Code. Subscription rights issued in January 1946 had a computated value of $5.20 a share owned. The overall gain for the fiscal year, including the increase in unrealized appreciation, amounted to $32.31 per share on the average number of shares outstanding. This was equal to 24.5% of the value at the beginning of the year. The indicated net asset value as of February 21, 1946 was approximately $126 per share. The annual meeting of stockholders is scheduled to be held on Monday, April 8, 1946. In connection therewith, it is expected that formal notice will be mailed to stockholders before March 30, 1946, together with a proxy statement and request for proxies. Very truly yours, Benjamin Graham, President, Jerome A. Newman, Vice President and Treasurer.